Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through that transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours?
This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on March 29th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. 9 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Why Didn't Anyone Tell Me?
This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from Shane Newman and is titled Renter's Insurance. Thanks for listening.
So I woke up at 5:08 a.m. on June 2nd, 2014, and I remember that time very distinctly. And I woke up to what sounded like some belligerent jerk shouting in the hallway and banging on the wall or banging on doors, and my first thought was, God, it's early to be that drunk. And I presumed, and I think this is fair, I presumed that it was just some guy who'd been locked out of his apartment. His roommate had let him back in, it'd be over in 30 seconds, and so I proceeded to try and go back to sleep, but after a couple of minutes, it was still going on, and I thought, fine, I guess I'll go deal with it. So I get up and I put on pants because I've knocked on enough doors for political candidates that I know that it's awkward when the person behind the door isn't wearing any pants. And I go to the door and I throw it open to give this guy a piece of my mind, and I start, hey, and I stop because it's not one guy, it's two guys. There are police officers in the hallways filled with smoke. And they shout, the building's on fire, get out, get out, get out. And at that point, I can't be like, I really would have picked a different outfit. Just a second, I'll be right back. And so I rush out of the building wearing these pants, actually. And thank you. I spend the next 3 hours sitting on the stoop across the street watching my home burn down. And it's hard to say exactly how I responded in that situation because it doesn't feel this way, but when I tell the story, it sounds like I was maybe in shock or wasn't quite processing because I was just cracking jokes, you know, saying things like, well, that's what I get for keeping my fireworks next to my oily rag collection. Which, incidentally, is a terrible thing to say next to a police officer when they haven't figured out what started the fire yet. And just in case my landlords are in the audience, it wasn't me. There was a thorough investigation, and it wasn't me. But a buddy and I make the track list for the relief dance party with songs like We Didn't Start the Fire, Burning Down the House. We get through like 20 or 30 tracks because we've got a while. And I text my boss and say, probably not coming into work today. My apartment building is burning down. Hashtag, thanks Obama. And she responds, well, feel free to take tomorrow off too, but what does the president have to do with this? And that was when I learned that there's kind of a generation gap with that joke, so if you don't get it, then ask your kids. But I learned a few other things in the fire experience too, and one of those things is that some people are just jerks. They just are. So the fire had been burning for about an hour, and they'd brought in the third fire truck to spray millions of gallons of water on this building. And my car was, you know, parked in front of the building. It was kind of blocking the way, but fortunately in this instance, I'm a little bit lazy. And so I had my credit card and my car keys in yesterday's pants that I'd pulled on. And so I go to remove my car, I get in, I turn it on, and I find out that all of the street exits are blocked. You know, they've been closed off by the police and by the fire department, and so I pull into this guy's driveway, and he comes out, and he's apparently an attorney, and he lets me know that he has trial in 2 hours, and so I need to move my car, and I point across the street, and I try to explain to him that while I appreciate his concern, my home is on fire, and he won't hear it, and you know, he says he's going to call the police, and I say, they're standing over there, let's go talk to them together. But you know, he doesn't hear it, so he starts like yelling at his wife to yell at me to move my car, and so I get into my car and I drive across people's lawns to get it out. But I also learned, and I mostly learned, that people are really wonderful, right? Because while my friend and I were joking about the playlist for that dance party, it turns out that other friends were actually planning one to raise money to replace things. And some different friends had started this online Kickstarter account, and people started getting a hold of me right away saying, hey, do you need anything? You know, my husband and I were thinking about getting a new couch, and here's a photo of our old one. I don't know if it's good enough for you. And the nice thing about being in your 20s is you don't have great stuff. And so I had to try and find a diplomatic way to say that's way nicer than the free couch I pulled out of the rainy alley before. So in a sense, I made out like a bandit. Another important lesson that I learned is that emotions are contagious or infectious. And so that first night of the fire, my friend Vic took me out to dinner, and God bless Vic, because you know, we're talking about the story, and at some point he just stops me mid-sentence and says, wait a minute, Svein, do you think that they're gonna have to demolish the building, like tear down the walls, gut everything out? And I'm like, well, I don't see what that has to do with what I was saying, but yeah, sure. And he says, well then, Svein, this is a tragedy, all right, but this is also an opportunity that you and I have never had before and may never have again, because I'm just saying that if a couple of dudes showed up with some sledgehammers and started knocking things down, they probably wouldn't mind. And he volunteers to help me gather my, you know, things, or sort of filter through the wreckage to try and find things the next day with clearly ulterior motives. And I show up, and the property management gal meets me on site, and she hands me my security deposit check, and she's crying, so I start crying, but then Vic shows up. An important point of backstory with Vic used to work in the oil fields, and not like the North Dakota, Eastern Montana oil fields. We're talking the backcountry Alaska, they have to helicopter you in oil fields. And so he comes with his big truck and his like industrial coveralls and his boots up to his knees, and he has this big breathing mask on. Like, I don't really understand, he looks like an alien, like I don't even get it. And I'm wearing the one pair of jeans and t-shirt that I own at this juncture. And I tell him, Vic, I really don't think we're going to need all of that. And he says to me, shh. Don't spoil the moment. I couldn't find my baseball bat. We're going to have to use our fists. And he's brought his like portable speaker system in some like waterproof bag. And so we spend the day rocking out to 90s dance beats. And you know, we go to the grocery store, and we get multiple brands of paper towels to figure out which is actually really the most absorbent. And you know, a few people, you know, have asked me, well, did you save anything? And the answer is yes, which was really great at the time, because that first day, the fire chief in Billings says, you know, kid, like, I don't want to sugarcoat anything, you definitely lost everything, which is not a great thing to say to a person in that situation. But we were able to salvage some things. You know, I had some clothes that had, you know, there was a lot of smoke damage, they'd been poured, probably a couple million gallons of water poured over them. But I took them to the laundromat that day. Actually, there was a full day at the laundromat with Vic, you know, bless him again. And I had a lot of hope, and then after the first wash, I lost all hope. But by the end of the day, it just smelled like I really liked camping, which is okay in Montana, right? You can pull that off. But the important thing or the most important lesson that I learned is that stuff is just stuff. You know, I don't know how many of you read Tom Sawyer when you were in school. That's great. I didn't, but I did read the Cliff Notes and watch the movie. And I remember there's a season, see, I'm talking like TV and movies. You know how I operate. I'm giving away all my secrets. But there's this scene early on where they're trying to establish that Tom is such a scamp. And so his raft washes into town and he's lost. You know, it only has a shirt on it. There's no boy. And so everybody assumes that he must be dead. And so they plan this funeral for him. And he comes back and finds out they're planning a funeral. And instead of saying, wait, oh my God, I'm still alive. You have it all wrong. He thinks, oh, I have to see this. Right, and ever since that moment, I've had the same, you know, like, lingering question, and obviously I would never do it, but I go to people's funerals and I think, oh my gosh, what I would give to live a life that's deserving of this kind of recognition or this kind of funeral, and God willing, and the creek don't rise, this is the closest I'll ever get to that, because, you know, the people who called, the people who wrote, the people who came forward, you know, this is a story about me losing nearly everything that I own. But to me, it's not a story of loss. It's a story about realizing how much I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Svein. Born in Norway, Svein Newman was kicked out of that country as a child for being bad at skiing. He has roamed around Montana ever since. He grew up on family farmland in south central Montana, went to college here at the University of Montana, and after 6.5 years stint in Billings, which he loves, he's excited to be back in Missoula. When he's not busy being afraid of speaking on stage, Svein works for a conservation and family agriculture nonprofit called Northern Plains Resource Council. Svein volunteers toward refugee resettlement with Soft Landing Missoula and enjoys divey cowboy bars, day hikes, and Settlers of Catan. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to our title sponsor for 2015, The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community, montanabookstore.com. And thanks to all of our sponsors, Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact, factandfictionbooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history, and in the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. If you are interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me, mark@tellussomething.org. That's mark@tellussomething.org. Podcast production by Mark Moss. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers, Susan Hansen, Dagny Deutschman, Jenny Pack, Louis Vero, Nicole Sweeney, Juanita Vero, Sawyer Connolly, Svein Newman, and Katrina Farnham. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the themes for the 2016 season. TellUsSomething.org.